Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning. It's Jace, our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, the CCA Star Tournament, Belleville Meat Market, Mainstream Marketing, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, looking at weather, it's 80 down on the island this morning, a little breezy. Looks like today, cloudy skies early, partly cloudy in the afternoon with a high of 83, south-southeast winds 15 to 25. And then for tonight, cloudy, low of 78, south-southeast winds 10 to 20. And for tomorrow, considerable clouds early. They'll decrease in the, later in the day for the afternoon with a high of 84. Winds will be south-southeast 15 to 25. And tomorrow they're calling winds could occasionally gust up over 40 miles per hour. That's not good news. I don't like hearing that. But anyway, all right, looking at tides for today. These are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have two of them. We're sitting on a low right now. That occurred at 1:11 a.m. It was a negative 0.1. We have a high at 10:49 a.m. It's a 1.6. And 6:26 a.m. is sunrise, 8:06 p.m. sunset, our moon phase, 85% coming off that full moon. And looking at current conditions right now, it looks like offshore it's due south at 13 to 16, 78 degrees with 79-degree water. Galveston Channel, it's 79 degrees with 83-degree water, south-southwest at 3 to 10. And Eagle Point, this is probably your most accurate out of that wind direction, 83 degrees with 81-degree water, south-southwest 13 to 15. And up at Morgan's Point, the north end of the complex, it's south 5 to 8. Water temp up there is 81, air temperature 80. So it's kind of where we're at. More southerly flow, breezy. I'm seeing where there is like a front next week, whatever that's worth. It's going to cool us down just a little bit for nighttime temperatures, but other than that, Thursday, it'll be a northeast wind anyway. It won't be south at 30. Try your luck on that one. All right, let's run over to Sabine now and check in with Captain Bill Watkins. Morning, Bill. What's up?
Boy, you sure do give a bad weather report.
I'm telling you, I get sick of that. It's going to be good one of these days, though. I can tell you the worm will turn.
Yeah, and it's going to turn probably about, what, June 15th? Is that
sixth.
What we always
I'm shooting
say?
For the 6th this year.
Oh, you're shooting for the 6th? Well, golly,
yeah. I'm shooting for the 6th. I'm going a little earlier this year. Since that snapper season on the 1st, it's got to lay down for those guys. Come on, man, you know?
Yeah, well, good luck with that. But, yeah. I guess I made the right choice on where to launch this morning. Oh, man. Yeah, my NOAA weather is saying 10 to 15 and occasional gust to 20 over here. So I don't know if we're on the edge of something that's different or what, but even the Windy app didn't show that much wind today or tomorrow. But, hey, it's still going to be windy, and I just had to live with it. That's the way it is.
It is. And it's fishing season. Everybody's coming out of the woodwork and having to deal with these conditions. And it's that game we play.
That's the game we play.
It is.
It's coastal fishing. Yeah. You get precious few windless days on the coast. You get, you know, there's a lot of good fish on the surf right now, but you can't get there if it's blowing 15 to 20.
No.
So you only get about 10 days a year that you can actually do that. Seemed like to me that I remember that we had less windy days back in when I was a young man. I don't know that it was true, but it seemed
that way, because when I was young, I liked to surf, and it was always flat.
Yeah, we live to see the smoke at the plants going straight up.
Right.
And we would drop whatever we were doing and head that way. You know, that was just green water and flat surf. You know, man, that was
an abundance of tide runners, man. Big old surf trout.
Yeah, they were something else. And those fish are still there, but you can't get at them really that much. I don't know if the weather has actually changed or it's just my memory that's messed up.
I know what you're talking about. I remember a lot of, you know, when I was young, my dad and them would be hitting that surf in April and May and catching really big old long trout in the surf.
Oh, yeah.
They wouldn't catch a lot, but, man, when they caught them, they were big.
Yeah, they were. Those trout were capable of reaching some enormous sizes.
Yes.
And it's just like, you know, now I get really excited over a 4-pounder.
Yeah, a lot of us do right now. That used to be just an average fish not that many years ago. But, you know, you hear of a decent one caught here and there. You know, I mean, we still got some decent ones swimming around. There's just so many 14 to 20-inch fish everywhere. It's hard to, you know, grab a big one here and there.
Yeah, that's true.
But occasionally somebody will pop one about 26, 27 inches long, which is, hey, that's encouraging.
That's encouraging, yeah. I remember when the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries sent me out a letter that their biologists were saying that we were losing age classes of fish and that at the rate that they were going, the fishery would crash. Well, yeah. It hasn't crashed. It's just that I think the fishing pressure catches all the fish that when they reach 15, they go out of the water. That's what I'm thinking, you know. And if you get to a place like the upper channel up there, when the fish get up that way, all the way up on the west side in the Texas area, like Taylor's Bayou or Texaco Island, places like that, there's so many people trying to catch their 15-inch fish that they're really hurting the fishery going through 50, 60 trout to get that keeper.
Yeah. So I've been seeing a lot of that the last few years, a lot of it over here. I mean, and there's no sense in it. I mean, they're pretty much all the same when you hit them like that. Just, you know, I always learn one thing. Out of all the years I've been doing this, in order to catch big trout, you got to drive out a little trout and go fish somewhere else. You got to go look for them.
Yeah, that's true.
Can control yourself enough to say, hey, man, what are we doing here? Let's pull out of here and go look for some better fish. You can't catch big ones if you don't leave the little ones.
That's true. And if I did that, I would be out of business. I mean, really, I can't do that here. I can't. There's not enough big trout to actually.
Well, there used to be.
If there was a lot of big trout, I'd be catching them. Because I always did before.
Yeah.
You know, it was easy. But you know, when we had big trout. So now it's just you go fishing, you enjoy fishing and catch a few, and that's where we're at. And as far as hope of ever seeing another 28-inch trout, I don't know. I hear a couple of people tell me every year that they stick one like that, but they don't ever get it to the picture phase. They're, yeah. Yeah, it's not like, Oh, it smashed that top water bait and jumped in there and went upside down, and bait went one way and the fish went the other. And I, okay, yeah, right. Well, show me the money.
Yeah.
Give me exactly. A picture that, yeah, give me a live shot.
Well, this day and age with cell phones and cameras and videos and all that, I mean, hey, it's
yeah, well, you believe anyway.
If you're really catching something like that, show me. I want to see it. Bring it.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw a picture of one 2 years ago that was probably 27 inches, maybe.
Yeah. Well, we still got them swimming around. There's just not an abundance of them like, you know, we've been experiencing in the past. We just got to grow a new fishery, and we're doing it. You know, I'm seeing more fish, you know, over the 20-inch range now, 22s, yeah. 23s, and you give them time, yeah. They'll turn into 28s if you don't kill them.
Yeah, that's
turn
true.
Turn into 30s. If they're 28, don't kill them, they'll turn into 30s.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like managing a deer ranch. If you kill all your 3- and 4-year-olds, you'll never have any trophies.
That's it.
That's a fact, you know? Jack.
That's a fact, Jack. You got to let them grow.
That's it. That's all. And we've just been through so much on this upper Texas coast, you know, including Matagorda. I mean, that's a big fish mecca place, too. And
yeah,
they've been hit hard. They didn't experience the floods we did, you know, the severe flooding that just completely flushed our systems. But they pulled the freeze that... What does TPNW say? It took 47% of their fish stock. That's a lot. Half of their fish.
That is a lot.
And it's hard to recover overnight from something like that. But we will. It just takes time. We're an impatient breed of people nowadays. You know, we want instant gratification, and you got to wait on it.
Yeah, that's true.
Just don't butcher all the little ones, you know. And the way our limits are, we're not hurting them with rod and reel anymore. Not even coming close. I mean, 3 fish a day that you're killing. Now, if you know how to properly catch and release fish, you're not hurting them. But I'd say
that's the problem.
Probably 80% of the fishermen don't know how to properly handle fish, so they'll swim off and grow up.
They don't care.
No, they just flip them in, let them flop all over the bottom of the boat. Scales are gone. Slime's gone. Well, he looks good. Throw him back in. He swims off, but you don't know what that entails later on, 2 or 3 days later.
And
or they become dolphin and, you know, dolphin and shark bait.
Yeah.
Or bull red bait.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
We've got a lot of predatorial fish. I mean, you definitely want to be on the top of the food chain this day and age. You want to be the big fish in the water.
You get to where you're catching 40 to 50 trout a day that are 14 and a half inches, and you're going through 50 to 60 of them to get 3 keepers. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how much good that's doing.
I like these posts nowadays. Hey, we had our limit by 7 o'clock. Well, I hope so. You know, 3 casts, 3 fish. I mean, 3 fish limit. I mean, that's definitely doable.
Yeah. Well, I think that...
That's the mentality, though. It's etched in our brains, limits, limits. That's all we've heard all our lives, limits, limits. You know, we went from no limits to 20, then to 10, then to 5, now to 3. And it's all about the limits and not the experience.
It seems like it's an ego thing to me.
I don't know what it is. It just, I'm going whether the limit's 1 or 50. I'm just going fishing and catch what I want. And no chest beat unless you catch a 35-incher. Then you got something to beat your chest about, jump up on your soapbox. Then you're doing
something. Ooh-ha. Yeah, that would be something.
Let me knock this break out. I'll be right back at you, Bill.
All right, folks, buddy.
If you need pipe, valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gaskets, you need them fast, look no further than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. They have a full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery. There's no need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item and can't wait on long deliveries, their sales team, with over 100 years of combined experience, is here to support you from start to finish, whether it's a 24/7 maintenance project or ground-up construction. Remember, the first three letters of Allied are all, and that's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. Let them handle it all for you at 281-332-6224 or sales@alliedinc.com. That's 281-332-6224. Morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, 419 here in the Bayou City. All right, Bill, we are back, my friend.
Little George Thurgood there.
Yes, sir. Bring it on, man. Bad to the bone.
Bad to the bone.
You know, I was talking to Tommy Alexander yesterday. He caught a trout in East Matagorda Bay the other day. And it was caught originally and tagged in January. And he caught it this week. Called in the tag, you know, to that Texas trout tagging program. And that fish was right where it was caught and tagged. And it had grown only a half an inch in almost 6 months. So,
golly.
You know, once they reach sexual maturity, you know, their growth rate slows down.
Just
bulk up.
I'm sure they do.
Add a little length, you know, maybe an inch or two a year max. And we just have to wait on these fish to get big.
Yeah.
And they will if you don't kill them.
Well, you know, fishing pressure factors into that, but I'm convinced that, like you said, that environmental factors are
that's the biggest issue we're fighting is environmental. And then, you know, not even counting the impact of freezes and spills and kills and floods and, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
no telling what all.
We, you know, so what was Harvey in August of 2017? So that's been 8 years.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much the nail in the coffin of death to our fishery as far as trout go. I mean, that was a flusher.
And it was bad.
We've just had to regrow a fishery, you know, not to mention we've had a couple of freezes too that killed some fish. Nobody wants to admit it. And, you know, our fish up here don't pop up or wash up on the bank like they do down south in that shallow water and clear water where you can see them dead. And it's just nature, man.
It just happens.
And it's just, you know, it's been an unfortunate last 10 or 11 years, you know, for growing fish up on this upper end. But, hey, when we do come back, I'm a firm believer. I mean, we've got everything to grow a good fishery. We've got all the estuarine, you know, all the estuaries, bayous, and marsh, and, you know, between you and us and then towards Matagorda, that's the lifeblood of everything, of growing fish and getting productive spawns. We've got
the
numbers.
I'll tell you what.
Numbers are coming back. I mean, the numbers are back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to have to get off here early today, but I got to say, I've had 10 trips now with that salty hundo reel.
Uh-huh.
I'm impressed with that thing.
Now just keep chunking it. You will be on down the line. I don't know how old mine are now. They're hanging in there, though.
I mean, that's 10 days straight, and I've had to put a little oil in there because I cast so much.
Right.
But, man, you talk about some fine reels.
Well, they should
so far,
be. What do they run, about $450?
Somewhere around there.
Yeah. They better be good for that price, huh?
They better be good. That's right.
You got that right. Or we'll all go back to $100 reels again.
Well, I'm here at the gas station. I got to get iced up, gassed up, and all that crap. So
all right, man.
And,
you do the same. Good luck to you, and hope the wind stays down for you. Catch them up, and throw them out a number, Bill.
409-673-9600. 9211.
All right, 9211. Well, Bill, you thank be you, good. Sir. Be safe. See you, man. All right, that's Bill Watkins. Icing up and gassing up. Make another day. Now let's, you know, getting back to these fish. I mean, it's, man, sometimes I just look at everything that's going on in this industry nowadays, and I think we've lost our minds. I really do. It's, we've gone crazy over fish and just, I mean, enjoy. Don't put all the pressure on yourself and just kill yourself because you don't catch them or somebody else is catching more than you. I mean, focus on what you do. Just go fishing. Enjoy it for, take it in for what it is. I know everybody wants to be the best. And that's what it's kind of come down to now is everybody wants to be better than everybody else. And instead of really focusing on what they're doing, if you're worried about what the other guy's doing, you're not in total focus out there on what you are doing. And I always just, that's kind of the way I always kept it. I don't even want to know what everybody else is doing. I just want to do what I'm doing and perfect it and be good at it. And not worry about, well, am I throwing the right bait or using the right line or the right equipment? You know, that all plays part in it. But basically, you got to focus on your presentation, your technique, your approaches to the sport itself. All right. Enough said. Let's go up to Conroe now. Let's check in with the fish dude. Hey, Richard. Good morning. What's up, man? Hello, Richard. 1 second.
See
if we can get him up. There you are. What's up?
Hey, not a lot, Mickey. How you doing?
I'm good, man. You?
No, it's hot up here this morning. I'll tell you what, it's
a little
crazy.
Muggy, huh?
70. Oh, man, I'm telling you, 79 already. Good night.
Yeah, it's 80 so here, so we're about the same this morning.
Yeah, buddy, that wind looks like it's laid down a little bit, too. I mean, yesterday it's pumping out of the south pretty hard. Mm-hmm. Today is kind of still, so let's see how all that plays out. There ain't no doubt. I'll tell you what, that's like yesterday. I was supposed to do a corporate deal, they had enough boats, so I just went playing around and caught a few catfish and some hybrids. So just trying to chase everything around, see how everything's going anyway. So the hybrids are still, they're starting to try to fire up, so that's a good thing. Don't hurt my feelings none, but I'll tell you what, after that dang no. After that water came up last week and then dropped, everything's kind of changing, you know. And I'll talk about it Thursday a little bit, but everything is just changing up because it's you know, most of the fish, they're not locked into any real pattern right now.
Mm-hmm.
And like them goofy old catfish, you know, I think they're getting ready to spawn. So I'm going to check out some stuff probably today. That I don't normally check out till like June or July because everything seems like it's a little bit early for some reason. You know, the catfish normally don't spawn till about July anyway, but they right now they're acting goofy, catching a whole fistful of little ones, and I mean, you'll catch. On a good spot, what I've been doing with them catfish lately, I'm catching three little ones for one keeper, and that's just not right. I mean, yeah, when I'm talking about little, I'm talking about 6 inches long and less.
Yeah, so that's little.
And them rascals are just more aggravating than anything. But whenever you get out there and that's, like I say, that's a good spot right now in the deep, and that's in deeper water because most of my stuff is anywhere 15 to 20 feet deep, and that's typically where I'm going to catch those catfish year-round, but I think I'm going to have to move around and hit these flat areas, you know, that's got the drains going up into the flats, and those are typically anywhere from 8 to 14 feet deep, so that's what I'm thinking they're doing today. So that's what we're going to do today anyway. Just because that's what they're acting just weird for some reason. And a lot of them, you know, like I was saying the other day, a lot of them have eggs that are developed. Some of them some of them have eggs that are just now developing. So it's just going to be an educated guess on my part whether they're going to be up there in that shallower stuff or not. So I don't know.
Well, take a chance. You don't know unless you try it. You got to go try it. I don't know.
That's exactly right. You know, and I mean, it's just.
If I was a betting man, I'd say they were right up there on the bank right next to them bulkheads.
That's what I'm thinking, you know. It's just, you know, it just doesn't make any sense with what they're doing right now. And you know, like the shad spawn, it kind of, the shad spawn was weird this year. I mean, it happened, but it was like one day they were on, the next day they were not. And it was maybe once or twice a week they got consistently up there, and then everything just changed and everything backed off.
Water level fluctuation might have, you know, had something to do with it.
That's a possibility. I mean, it's real strange because, you know, normally whenever the shad spawn's happening, you see those birds out there just lined up on these banks. Yeah. And you'll see them just leapfrogging down the bank following those shad. And this year it just didn't happen. I mean, there were days where I would see them out there ganged up in certain areas, and then they would just, the next day they just weren't there. And
well, so when you get it figured out, I'd sure like for you to let me know about it, you know? Hey,
I hear you.
Let me knock this commercial break out, Richard. I'll be right back at you, buddy. Hang on.
Okay, Mickey.
All right. Well, folks, if you've never been to the Belleville Meat Market, you owe it yourself to stop by and try it out. What a great place to shop for grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken. Check out their full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that all week long, Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And they have bulk pricing available on all their fresh ground beef and pecan smoked sausage. Check out their homemade hot dogs, original or with cheddar cheese, hamburger patties, stuffed pork tenderloin, stuffed peppers, stuffed mushrooms. Let the Belleville Meat Market be your backyard barbecue block party headquarters. Introducing their new Chuck Wagon patties. That's half-pound beef patties seasoned to perfection and loaded with cheddar cheese. And try their grab-and-go snacking products like their beef jerky, turkey jerky, dry sausage, and dry sticks. Excellent. And their wild game processing? Check out their new sausage recipe that's available. It's really good. You got to try it. The Belleville's been celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. All right. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 4:35. Let's head back up to Conroe and talk some more with the fish dude. All right, Richard, we're back.
All right, Mickey, I'll tell you.
Shad spawn, man.
I know. I'll tell you what, like I say, them rascals, mm-hmm. they didn't do the same thing they normally do every year, but it's, you know, that's why you're out here all the time. You get out here and kind of pattern how everything's going and stuff like that. And, you know, it's like this morning, there's several different tournaments going on this morning. You got the Conroe Bass Weekend Series Championship going on. There's an A&M tournament going on. So I know there's going to be a lot of people out there beating on them bass this morning. So it's, you know, with this calmer wind and stuff like that, I'll tell you what, I think that topwater bite's going to be pretty hot this morning. That'd be a good one to get into anyway. Because that's, you know, I've been telling people all for weeks now that you know, I've been jumping off a lot of fish on the topwater bait, and for some reason, the popwater bite's been really good this year. Granted, I catch a few, I lose a few, but it's, you know, the thing is, everything's got to be on your side to get them all in the boat. But those fish are all in that grass. I mean, that's the thing. You know, it started, you know, everybody kind of saw that when the Major League Fishing guys were here in town, and they caught all those fish out of that grass in Caney Creek. And there's still lots and lots of fish in there. I mean, it's just amazing how those fish are holding up as well as they are, because they've been there over a year for sure. And, you know, like year before last, I kept talking about how I knew they were in there. I just couldn't get them caught. You know, I could catch the little ones. I couldn't catch the big ones. And now I'm kind of getting the bigger ones to bite and stuff like that. Some of that stuff's starting to mat up in the back of the creek and stuff. So as it mats up, the frog bite kind of heats up a little bit. And that's, you know, that's a good thing. But Like I say, I get out there in them little open patches, and I've been chunking that popper a lot at them, and especially the early morning stuff. I mean, it's one of those deals where they just they like it. I don't know why they like it as much as they do right now, but they do, and it's. I mean, that's I love that topwater bite anyway, and it's fairly consistent. So that's one of the things that if I was out there fishing this morning, especially right off the bat, I'm going to chuck something like that. You know, I've been throwing a buzzbait at them a little bit, but I can't get the dang things to eat it. For some reason, they just don't want that thing. And now I'm saying that, but somebody else is liable to tell you, hey, well, I've been catching the heck out of them on a buzzbait. It's just where I'm chunking it, I cannot get them to eat that dang buzzbait. And it's
it depends on the individual, you know, what everybody's everybody's different. I mean, if we were all the same, it wouldn't be any fun.
Let me ask you something on these bass.
Like, say if you got a tournament going on, and say the majority of the fish are caught on the north end of the lake and carried their live wells to the south end, to the weigh-in, and those fish are released on the south end. Is that, you think that changes anything with that, with those fish? You think it knocks them out of whack for a while before they can ever establish an area they like to live in after they're taken out of where they probably grew up and they lived before? Does that make sense?
Well, here's it does. I understand exactly what you're saying. I mean, here's what's so funny about Lake Conroe and Lake Livingston and Conroe. I'm gonna compare the two. Years ago, and somebody that's fishing a tournament on Lake Livingston, if you're listening to this, you can win a lot of tournaments listening to this part right here, because I've done it, and I used to win a ton of tournaments on Lake Livingston. But Lake Conroe is different. Lake Livingston, if you have a tournament out of a certain marina and they have tournaments continuously out of there,
right,
you never have to leave that area. Those fish, they automatically move to the docks in the area, and they'll stay there for a month. And then they move off. But on Conroe, they don't do that. For some reason, when you dump them back in the water, they just take off and they're gone. Now, one of the things I remember way, way back is John Hope. John Hope had, and this is before they outlawed putting tracking devices in fish, he took 10-pound fish and above on Sam Rayburn and Toledo Bend, and then he moved over to Choke Canyon. But I think when he went to Choke, he couldn't do the tracking devices in them any longer. But he put tracking devices in all these 10-pound fish and above. And on Sam Rayburn, for example, he would take them from the canyons, which is up on the very north end of Sam Rayburn, and that's around Castle Boykins, 147 Bridge and all that. He would take them down to Twin Dykes Marina, and he would release them down there, and within 24 hours, they were right back in the canyons within 100 feet of where he caught them.
They went all that way, a bass.
They went all that way. It's like, you know, like a homing pigeon. I mean, they just traveled right back up there to where they came from. So that's on Sam Rayburn, and I'm pretty sure Conroe fish do the same thing, because I can't catch them around where they're released. But like Livingston fish, they don't do that. It's totally different. I mean, like Livingston fish, like I say, I have won a lot of tournaments at just a release area where they, you know, where they're releasing fish. I mean, they'll move to the first sets of docks there, and they just live there for about a month, and then they'll move on. But it's a weird thing how it happens. But and then, like I say, Conroe, for years I've been trying to catch release fish that are around some of these marinas, and I can't do it. They don't hang around. So I got a feeling that they make that move back up to the north end, like, or wherever they came from, they move back to that area within a short amount of time, you know. So now I know there's some fish that will hang around, but for the most part, you know, they'll establish kind of a new territory and live there. But for the most part, the bigger fish, I firmly believe that they go right back to where they were caught. You know, no matter where you release them at, it could be 10, 15 miles away. Because, I mean, you know the distance between 147 Bridge and Twin Dykes. That's a good 20, 25 miles. You know, that's a distance that they have to travel over there. So if they can make it back from that distance in a 24-hour period, they do a lot of traveling. I mean, That's the thing. They've got their home range, and that's where they like to be. So, it's, you know, it's just, it's funny how those fish do that. But, you know, with the largemouth anyway, especially on Conroe, the Florida strain that's in here for the most part, they, you know, those rascals, they'll move shallow, they move deep, they, I mean, they do all kinds of weird stuff all the time. I mean, you would think you could have a decent pattern on fish on Conroe. It just doesn't happen. You just got to, I mean, there's no real set pattern.
You know, and I've always noticed that with those Conroe bass. You know, most time when you pull a cold front and the barometer goes sky high, you know, yep. In other lakes, a lot of those fish, they'll pull off the bank and go deeper. But sometimes those yep. fish in Conroe, they'll go as shallow as they can in that high pressure.
Their back's almost sticking out of the water.
Yeah.
That's what's so crazy. I mean, it's just.
Think it's got something to do with that Florida strain, or I mean,
I think it does. You know, that's just a guess on my part, but I'm pretty confident it does. And you know, I tell people all the time, I notice it with hybrids a lot. When the barometer goes high, the fish tend to move shallower because this is my explanation for it. It may be totally wrong, but this is kind of the way I feel about it. You know, when the barometer's high, it's compressing the earth. As it compresses the earth, we don't feel it as people. Now, when we were younger, we felt it. But you'd feel that pressure change on your body. And those fish live in water, so it's compressing that water. So the way they control that is they move up in the water column so it doesn't have so much pressure on them.
So much effect.
And that way they...
Yeah.
That's right. You know, and granted, you know, everybody used to think high pressure go deep. And I'm guilty of it. I thought, you know, high barometer, get down there in 30 foot of water and start working on them. Well, it doesn't happen that way all the time. I mean, those fish, as you get down there deeper, it's compressing more, so they're not as hungry. So you start moving shallower, and they're actually feeding at that point versus just sitting there dormant, you know, because it's not.
You know, and I've had some unbelievable days on big trout back in the day when we had a lot of them in this bay that behind a cold front, you know, when your pressure goes up and you get that clear blue sky and high pressure, you know, a day or two following that front, we used to kind of go to the deeper reefs and everything. But I found when the clarity was good and in the bay where you could see, you could sight cast those big old log
yes.
trout laying up in there in knee-deep water with that high pressure.
Right.
As soon as that tide would come back, those fish would roll in there with a mullet and get real skinny.
Yep.
Now, they were hard to catch, but they were catchable. We would catch them, and, man, they were huge.
Exactly, and that's kind of what I'm, you know, it's kind of the same theory that I'm going on there because they can move up shallow to take that pressure off of them. I mean,
yeah, maybe you're right. Everybody has theories and ideas.
Right, I mean that's just one I've worked on over all these years because thinking about it, writing stuff down all, over the years, you know, just trying to figure out, you know, what depth they are in, what water temperatures, all that. Barometric pressure, everything under the sun, I've analyzed and reanalyzed, and every time it comes back, when you got a high barometer, they typically want to go shallower, no matter what type of fish it is.
Yeah,
I mean it's you know they may not necessarily go shallower, they just feed shallower. So that's one.
Well,
of the, you know,
it is easier to catch food in shallow water than it is in deep water. You know, unless
that's
they lay on on a drop off of a reef or something and wait for the bait to come to them or a brush pile or something like that, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That's,
current
that's
or wind
exactly
driven
right.
current, what have you.
Right, right. So that's, you know, that's the thing. And, you know, you do the same thing
I'm
I do as an angler. You sit there and analyze and reanalyze.
It's trial and error, you know. Just when you think you know,
it.
You don't know.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
That's something
right.
we fight as fishermen our whole career. All right, buddy.
Exactly.
Well, Richard, I'm going to have to let you go. If somebody wants to get with you about coming up to Conroe and wetting a line with you, how do they get a hold of you, man?
All right, Mickey, anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
Like I was saying earlier, when you get it figured out, let me know, would you?
I hear you, brother. I hear you. Right. Y'all have fun.
All right, buddy. Bye. See you, man. All right. That's the fish dude up on Conroe. Now we're going to jump down to Matagorda and check in with Captain Charlie Paradoski, see what he's up to this morning. Charlie P., what's up, man?
Same old song and dance, Mickey. Nothing new.
Same old song and dance.
Yeah.
Time to get a new DJ.
Yeah.
Call Mother
Nature.
Need
a new something.
We need a weather change.
Mother Nature's getting stranger every year, isn't she?
I'm telling you. It's like what was that, a butter commercial? It's not nice to fool Mother Nature.
Yeah. Well.
She's fooling us.
Yep. We got a big tournament down here today. And
Shocking.
It's just going to be a zoo.
Yeah.
And, you know, the worst part of this job is disappointing people.
I know.
I don't like that.
I know. The guilt factor sets in. You just feel horrible and nothing you can do about it.
I normally do not get involved with these tournaments on Saturday, and the trip got booked months ago without even knowing what I booked.
Right.
So, that's what I'm dealing with. You know, it's a little calmer down here this morning.
It is across the board. I'm looking at it, the entire coast.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yep. But that's got nothing to do with the problem that I'm going to have. It's people.
Yeah.
You know, I finally have some wade fishermen in the next 3 days.
Well, that's good.
It's good if you can find a place to wade down there, you know?
Yeah, find you a place to park and, well, try to find you a little 100-yard stretch to make a wade in. Boy, I hate it when it's like that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Now, tomorrow will be the complete opposite. There will be nobody out there.
Right.
They're going to be fed up because the wind's going to come up after a while, and they won't go tomorrow. They won't go. The same thing. The same thing happened to me last Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we were all pinned because of that north wind in a corner. And, you know, we caught fish and on Saturday, but it was boats running on top of boats and stuff. And then I go back the next day and we had a boat out there and then we're fishing every spot you wanted to go to. So
yeah.
I'm hoping that's the way it'll be this weekend. So we'll see.
It could be worse. You could have to be fishing Conroe today with two tournaments on that small lake.
Yeah. Yep. So there's still people catching fish, you know, down here, Mickey. It's just everybody's not catching them, though. And we go through this every year at this time, so.
I know.
Just part of it.
Yes,
just part of it. You know, even I keep saying the same damn thing all the time. I see all these posts, who's posting, and seems like there's more posting from your area than there is over here now.
Oh, they're going crazy over these big old hogs over here.
Yeah, they are.
I know.
I haven't heard of a big fish
contest thing or something. I don't know what it is. It just
those guys down south are still catching fish.
Yeah,
they're due for.
It's tapering off a little bit down there. They're still catching some good ones.
Yep.
Boy, that went weird, didn't it? See if you can get him back. We'll finish up with him, Jace. I don't know what happened. I could hear myself feeding back through his phone, and it just went dead. He got in a bad signal area or something. We'll see if we can get him back and post up. Yeah, that's part of weekend fishing, like Charlie was talking about. I mean, that's, I don't know. I quit fishing weekends 20, 25 years ago just because of that. Got him back. All right, Charlie, I don't know what happened. It just went all wacko.
Yeah, I know.
But
I know. Back.
Well, I hope you can find you a little stretch with a wad of fish in it this morning.
Well, I'm going to take care of them the best I can. That's what I always do. So,
without all the chopping up.
Yeah. It ain't going to be nothing easy, but we'll see what we can do.
Well, I've got faith in you. Anybody can figure it out, it's you.
Well, I'll take luck over skill. I'll take luck over skill anytime, too.
But you can remember back in the day, man, we think we have a lot of fishermen now, but I remember the lines of just having to put a boat in back in the day. You'd have to wait in line an hour. You better be there early if you want to get your boat in and get out of there quick. You remember all that. It was a mess.
Yeah, the funny part about all that, Mick, is they weren't all catching them fish. You know, there was like 10% of us catching them. We were teaching people, you know, so much back then. You know, showing them how to catch them. Well, now everybody knows how to catch them.
Right.
Everybody knows the spots.
Nothing sacred.
And the weather's screwed up all the time, so.
Yeah.
A lot of issues, man.
There is. A lot of variables there, bud.
Yes, there is. Yes,
man,
sir.
Just makes us better for it.
Well, it keeps you going.
Or crazier. Yeah. More stress. Anyway.
I don't know.
Well, I wish
the good days make
today.
Up for the best. Yes,
they do. Yeah, it all comes around. It's full circle.
Right.
Well, I wish you the best today. If somebody wants to call you about coming down and fishing with you in Matagorda, Charlie, how do they get a hold of you, man?
Best way to reach me is on a cell phone. Just leave a message on my voicemail, and I'll call you right back, 713-725-2401.
All right, Charlie P. Astros won again. Another comeback last night, so here we go.
Let them roll.
Let's roll. See you, Charlie. Have a good day. Be safe.
Take care, Mickey.
Thanks, man. Well, folks, are you looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure? Welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch, a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda, Texas. And depending on time of the year, whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters. So bring your friends, your clients, let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything for you, from five-star lodging, skeet shooting and sporting clays, to a fully stocked bass pond. That way your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget. And if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups of up to 40 or host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best of Texas at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. And please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.